Hi, and welcome to the 377th episode of the MWA podcast. I'm Kyle Bard, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Sean Wisniewski and Mark Hicks. Tonight, we're visiting with longtime friend of the show and fan favorite, Brian Brazil. So welcome back, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, right. It's Brian.
Could we shoot two tonight so that I can get ahead of Wilbur?
Sure. We can.
It needs to be some knockdown, drag-out brawl. I want to see the footage of the no holds barred match between the two of you.
Next time there's a fine woodworking live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to get your measurements for the gold lame jacket though.
How many episodes do you need to be on to get that?
I think over five. You get it. We probably owed this to you for, a couple of years. But anyway.
For a while.
We just got the Patreon going, No Patreon supporters. Your money is not going for gold lame jackets.
No, not happening.
But anyway, it's a nice thought. Well, before we talk to Brian and get more into what he's been up to since he was last on the show, let's dip our toes into the woodworking news. Mm-hmm. So we got a trifecta from Lee Valley, but it's a quadfecta.
Quadraphonics.
Exactly.
You could probably copyright that saying if you worked at it.
Probably could.
Quadfecta.
Yes. Anyway, so Lee Valley has four things that made the news this week. So the first one is pretty cool. It's Lee Valley's replica of a recessed bench stop. So it's basically a planing bench type stop that goes into your bench, but it actually is spring loaded, so you can have it closed or up. And what I thought was interesting is when it's up, you can sit different heights for it. And I think it's a replica of one that Miller Falls did back in the day. And it's $60, which is not a bad price.
No, not bad at all. Yeah. It's interesting because it's got a head that's got a couple different features on it, flat, serrated, not so serrated, V-cut, so depending on the size and material and whatnot. Looks like you just have to drill an extra wide
step hole, it looks like.
I mean, it's, what is it? As simple as drilling a 2-inch diameter hole for the cup and a concentric 1-inch diameter hole for the shaft of it. So, and it has to be, at least an inch thick bench to go into.
Yeah, you got somewhere for the screws to bite.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. And for the price, I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world by any means. Be a nice little add-on. I don't know, Bench Builder, what do you say?
I love it. I didn't realize it was a new thing. I saw it in the catalog, and I just assumed this is something they've had, and I didn't know about it. But yeah, this is a really good solution for people that, have a thinner workbench top or don't want to chop a giant square hole for a regular planing stop. But if I was going to build a small like tabletop workbench, I would sink one of these in there without even thinking about it. Because I saw that and I went looking for the originals. They're kind of hard to find. So I was like, oh, I wonder if I can get one of the first ones. I'd love to have one of those, but to no avail. So yeah, I will probably end up buying a few of these and playing around with them in some smaller benches.
Yeah. So stainless steel cup, steel shaft, and A2 steel head. So it's going to take a licking.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good because you might be hammering on it, planing over it, yada, yada, yada. I like the adjustable height of that. I mean, you could go right down to the nitty gritty, get really thin stock stopped on it without too much issue.
The kind of stuff looks like they have a picture and it looks like it's maybe a 16th of an inch above the work surface or an eighth.
Whatever, in there. You gotta think it could be like a quarter inch square dowel, and they're stopping it on this thing down on the surface. I mean, and if you're safe to work on anything to a pretty damn small thickness on that, that's pretty neat. That in conjunction with another stop, you could pretty much probably hold on to anything and everything, in many directions because it swivels too. So you can obviously do that. I think they do show an Allen key. There's something to that. It might not be the most seamless micro adjustability, you might have to
it's not as easy as hitting it with a hammer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but there's that.
You loosen it, and then you tighten it. There's a split nut inside the shaft.
Yeah, I am interested if it works like that. Like if you set it to, say, you know, eighth inch off the deck, and then it's spring loaded, and you can just go boom and plunk it down, and then plunk it back up, and it returns to that exact position. It should work that way, which would be great.
Sure.
Like a repeatable height.
That would be good.
You got to bring the Allen key out every time to raise it up.
I think that's how it works. I think you have to use the key to adjust it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you want something that springs, because sometimes, you don't want it to drop down while you're using it.
Okay, true.
You know, if you have something that's not quite flat, it's got a little bit of a curve to it. You want that end to be supported when you hammer it into the teeth. So that may be a problem, but.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not the most common use case. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds like I need to get one and give it a shot. It's my duty as a workbench maker to.
I think so. I think so. These
things. Okay, I'll put one in the cart.
And report back. Yes.
What else was I supposed to get from them from a few weeks ago? I said I would buy. I have to get one of those too.
Oh, no, you were going to buy the crucible divider.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So that's not out yet, is it?
Yeah, it's not out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite yet.
All right, I'm off the hook.
It says releasing the central locking screw pops the sprung steel up from the stored position. Tightening the central locking screw engages it. So you do have to unscrew it to even get it up off of the surface. So yeah, little hands-on, not a hammer blow, but
yeah. Yeah,
you're gonna need a magnet embedded in the leg of your bench so you can just
hold that.
Clip the just.
That's a great idea.
Snap the little Allen key to it.
Yep.
So, or right under the underside of the bench, that might be better. Less likely
to
knock. Well, no, then you're going to clamp on it. Never mind.
there's a way. There's a way.
And it involves magnets, probably. Or maybe we could get Texas Heritage to make a holster for the Allen.
Just for that. I need a single Allen key holster to sit on the bench. Or it'll fit in one of their holsters as it is.
Yeah, $60 for the stop and $30 for the holster. And you've got a $100 solution.
Oh, one thing I did want to mention is last episode we did talk about the crucible divider, and in the meantime, Chris Horst put out a little video showing all the operations of how it works, and yeah, it looks very, very innovative.
Cool.
Yeah,
it works as written about.
And that was the main thing I was having troubles with, is having to use another tool to use that tool, but it didn't seem to be that big of a deal. I still want to play with it, but it looked pretty interesting, being able to keep the angle fixed and the blade being able to move back and forth, or vice versa, where you have the blade locked and you can kind of move the angle back. Yeah, looked interesting.
Very.
Did we mention their planing stop? There's a video where he was hammering on a planing stop.
Oh yes.
Lost Our Press planing stop. That was something that came out recently too.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, because people say, hey, don't hit a
cast iron.
Cast iron.
They call it cast iron, but it's cast ductile
iron. So he was wailing on it. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Well, moving on, Lee Valley has some other things that are, I don't know. Hey, that's pretty cool, but. I don't know if I'll ever use it, but they have a Veritas mini work surface, which basically looks like a MFT table, a Festool MFT table, shrunken down. And it looks interesting. And I think it's made to go with their miniature line of tools and whatnot. And it's only $24.50, so it's not bad. They also have a Veritas miniature workbench accessory set, which has like little dogs and a little wonder dog and a little hold down. So it's all very, very cute.
And it all like. Do the feet of that thing engage in dog holes on something? I mean, it's shown held off the top of what it's sitting on. But I would think if you're doing, even with a quarter inch little plane, it can't be scooting around on rubber feet too much. You're going to have to stop
You put those in the dog holes of your actual workbench.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You have to have appropriately spaced dog holes to hold the.
I wonder if it's MFT down. Size, so it will
it
drop into
is.
The holes on
oh,
the MFT.
Oh, that'd be great. If yeah. if they honestly, I mean, if they
very meta.
It up like that, it is kind of meta. But yeah. just not just one, but a few new additions to the line of their miniature hand tool series, which yeah. is just adorable. I know they're all very functional, which is the scary thing. Like the little, you know, miniature block plane, miniature rabbit plane, router plane, yada, yada, yada. They're great. Although, like, I've thought about getting, like, their miniature edge plane. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure. I mean, I sometimes deal with really thin stock. You know, that'd be a nice little thing to have just to go, zoop, you know. I don't yeah. know. Just kiss an edge.
I'm sure if you're in bite the... off it. Yeah, I'm sure if your hobby is making miniatures, like, you know, miniature furniture, I don't want to use quote-unquote dollhouse furniture, but that kind of thing, or maybe mm-hmm. some other types of, you know, projects it's not coming to my mind at this particular moment, but small stuff. I'm sure I've heard that, you know, their little miniature tools are fairly useful in those type of situations. Yeah. So, yeah.
If anybody knows of a YouTube channel where there is a person using these tools to make scale, you know, small scale pieces of furniture, I would love to see it because
I bet it exists.
It has to. I never thought to search for it, but if not, there needs to be one.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that would be fun to watch. I would have a hard time turning away.
So anyway, but moving on, last up is Lee Valley has a Kumiko starter kit. And the reason I mention this is everything comes, in pre-dimensioned links. You still have to cut and, you know, do your miters and all that stuff. The fun part of doing Kumiko. But the starter kit gives you enough to make, I think, a couple of panels. And it's only like $12, which seems to be, you know, not a bad price to get, you know, pre-dimensioned stock. You know, if you're just getting into the Kumiko, and then I think you can also add, you know, additional stuff, you know, like if you want particular types of Kumiko stock at a certain thickness, you can buy packages of 10, and I think they're like $16.50 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of nice, you know, if you're just getting into something and, you know, especially somebody that does a lot of, you know, I know it's kind of a fad to do woodworking apartment style, you know, and if you're doing small scale stuff and you don't have the planer and all that kind of stuff to, you know, dimension this stuff, you know, buying it pre-dimensioned, that's not bad and at a fairly, you know, attractive price, I would say.
Also, a helpful addition would be Matt Kenny's book, The Art of Kumiko, listed on their website adjacent. And it's cool. I mean, it's kind of like the equivalent of like a soldering practice kit. You know, make some small little thing. I actually have a small LED Christmas tree that was $10 on Amazon. Here you go, kind of thing. And it just, you know, simple solders, you know, and put them together. This is small things. Make a panel, learn about it, you know, and see if it fits somehow into your work otherwise.
Yeah, and kinda I neat. Think Lee Valley also on their YouTube channel had like a multi-part series on Kumiko. So, you know, going through the entire process of making it. So, you know, check that out, too, if you haven't.
Yeah.
I saw it. I haven't fun actually watched it, but I saw it scroll across.
Yeah, I mean, that is seriously $12. If it comes with instructions and that's and the wood, that's enough right there.
Yep.
You know,
so
and just learn about Kumiko.
Yep. Get a saw and get to work.
Yep.
That's right. Well, you know, the woodworking news would not be complete without a visit to Woodpeckers.
Is it every other week that they bring something out?
So, it's every week.
Yeah,
so almost. We get to talk about it. That's awesome.
Yes. So they just brought out a one-time tool, so they're only making it for a short time. And it's another one of those things where I just go, really? but anyway, it's a one-time tool. It's an adjustable setup block. Which I think I saw the way it works. It looks cool. It's very nice. But when I use setup blocks, I use setup blocks because they're at one dimension and they're not going to change. And this one's variable where you can change the height and whatnot. So, you know, I think it would work good for a project, but I'm not sure how repeatable. So if you needed something at a set distance. Anytime you're, you know, putting type of adjustment into it, it's really difficult sometimes to actually repeat that adjustment, because you could be off like, you know, a 16th of a turn on your little adjustment dial or not. But you know, your reading could be, you know, is it on the line or is it a little bit ahead of the line? Is it a little bit behind the line? You know, all those type of things that you go through.
It's cool looking.
It's cool looking. Yeah. It looks well made.
With a wall mounting bracket, which is very important.
Yeah.
It's available. You have to buy it extra.
Not included.
Yeah. I use my 1-2-3 blocks. Yeah, I use my 1-2-3 blocks all the time. And the thing I like about them is I know this side's 1 inch. I know this side's 2 inch. I know the length of the thing's 3 inches. And that doesn't change.
But the one application they have there you can't do with those unless you combine multiples is coming up from underneath and hitting a stop. And that's kind of, I mean, that is repeatable in a way. You know, you could, you know, once you have a tight,
as long as you left it at that exact.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I mean, I get it. It's
as soon as you move it, it's going to be hard to repeat it. So let's say you used it to set the height of a router bit. Well, that's fine as long as you do your parts. But if you go, oh, I need to cut another part or another, you know, piece, and I need to route it at that same exact height. If you've moved that setup block, it's going to be, like I said, you could be off a few thousandths one way or another. And
and you'll be able to get just as close if you just took one of those other parts and took it over to the router table and set it with that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, like I said, I think like you're talking about, if you're doing a project that has a ton of different measurements and depths, and this might speed things up. It's not for us. It's not for Kyle and I to do, like, you know, like just, you know, tons and tons of repeated setups. It's not for that.
No,
you know, it's highly adjustable, and it looks like it's pretty quick to use. It's got a little rapid adjust and then a micro adjust. But
and it looks cool. It's got the, you know, the machine turnings on the side and stainless steel
swirlies. They're all about the swirlies these days.
Yeah. Hey.
They got a new toy.
They make good looking stuff. We know that.
Yeah. And it's $200.
Oh, gotta throw that in there. It is.
By the way.
Yeah. By the way, it's $200.
Okay. But if you run your shop, you are in the business of making furniture or projects from magazine articles.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good way to measure for all those different things and depths of cuts and all that other stuff. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I say $200. I just throw that out there. I know some engineering and machining went into this.
Absolutely.
It's not a fair price. I'm not going to say it's, overpriced, but it's just like, it's still, you know, for what you're getting, it's like, okay, well, but like I said, it is cool. It does look sharp. It does look sharp.
Mm-hmm. Like a race car. It's cool.
Yeah.
Gives me some ideas for the Pinewood Derby coming up.
It would make a cool Pinewood Derby car, wouldn't it?
There you go.
Like a big block of chrome and red cheese racing down the highway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is kind of cool. But anyway, so that pretty much rounds out the woodworking news for this week. But let's move on to our Patreon shout out. So, Sean, do we have one?
We do, as we always do. And this week, we're giving a shout out to somebody near and dear to my family, my dad, Scott. Hey, Scott, thanks for helping us out, Dad, I should say. I don't want to call him by his first name. like him, if any of our dear listeners would like to support us, go to patreon.com/MWA podcast. And I want to add an extra plug in there, not a really plug, but I think, and I haven't mentioned this to any of you guys, but I think it would be a good program. We can think of an incentive somewhere down the line other than listening to our beautiful voices, you know, but if we could get 2 new patrons this month, that would be awesome, you know. And you'll hear your names. You guys get a shout out at very minimum and any reward you sign up for. But like, if we can get 2 more this month, just think the more we can do. And then if that continues on, but like small potatoes first, 2 new in the month of December, we would be ever so thankful.
Oh,
so if you
want
to help us out, please help us out. Patreon.com/MWA podcast.
Fantastic. So, well, great. Appreciate that. So let's move on to what's in the shop. So, Mark, what are you working on?
Well, Shape horse. Workbench kits. They are getting very close to going out the door.
Cool.
So we'll be starting up another remote workbench class soon. And I booked a class down at the Austin School of Furniture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we'll be doing a shave horse class down there. We're still working out the details, but right now the tentative scheduling is the 14th through the 18th. So.
All right.
So we have to hear that properly. You booked as in you're the instructor.
I'm going to be teaching a class.
There you go.
On making a shave horse. One of the Play 11 shave horses with the Galbert adjuster in there. Mm-hmm. In Austin. So
awesome.
Looking forward to that. It's March is a great time to be in Austin, I think. So
yes.
And not too hot yet.
Yeah, not too hot.
About the right time of the year.
It'll be like 80, right? 80, 90 degrees
in March
in Austin. Nah, it'll be like, I think 85 is as top as it's going to get, but it'll probably be in the 70s and 80s, somewhere in there.
I think his shop is probably
indoors. And we could have a cold front. It could be in the 50s, you know, who knows? March is a, you know.
We get ice storms up here in March sometimes, so if I'm not here for that, that's fine.
That's good. I'm fine with that.
Well, I will make it a point to put that on my calendar because I'll come up and at least have dinner with you or something.
Yeah.
I'll take some candid photos for the website, while you're teaching, maybe something like that.
You can keep Henry busy in the office while I'm teaching. He's going to be traveling with me. So.
Oh, really?
He's going to be doing his. He's going to be self homeschooling that week. So we'll see how that goes. I told my wife, I said, you know, a lot of times instructors will book a 2-day class at the end of a 5-day class on the weekend since you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it'd be great to do like a staked saw bench or a stool, something we could use the shave horses to make. And she's like, you're going to have your son in an office for 5 days by himself. She's like, he's going to be starved for attention. you're going to need to just take him to go see some stuff in Austin. So yeah, we might take a couple days at the end of the week to see some sights, but
There's some cool stuff to see in Austin. You know, and educational wise, I mean, the Bullock Museum there of Texas history is probably one of the better ones. So
cool. Yeah. He loves history. He got real interested in Civil War stuff this summer. So we took him to a couple of battlefields and he got really psyched up, he just likes to learn stuff. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. Just take him somewhere where he can learn something and he's happy.
Yeah. You can take him to San Antonio. It's only about probably an hour and 15 minutes south of there and see the Alamo.
Yeah, my grandfather is buried at the Veterans Cemetery down there, so he could go see his great grandpa.
Oh, cool.
So we might do that.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's what's going on here. So kits and shave horses.
All right. Well, congrats on the class. And
I'm psyched. Yeah. I've never taught away from home, so it's terrifying.
But, all the experience you've got teaching virtually, I'm sure, set you up for success.
Well, virtually, it's kind of like, I'm sorry, you don't have the tool. I mean, I told you it was on the list. I don't know. It's one of those things that until you go and do it like 10 times, it's just like, what am I forgetting? You know, what do I need to bring? So I've already started making lists. I mean, it's like,
I think, you know, just FYI, I think Austin has both a Woodcraft and a Rockler there. So
he's got his own tool store.
Yeah, he's got his own store. I don't know what he's stocking there. I think they did the premiere of that store last weekend. So yeah, I'm anxious to get up there and see what he's stocking in there too. So
you got to go. They're open on the weekends and then they're open for the students.
Yeah.
During class. So yeah, might we get in touch with him and get some information on that? We could put it in the news. But
well, that would be good.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it would. Well, maybe we'll do that next week.
Maybe.
So, Sean, what are you working on?
Nothing really. That's the usual for me. I don't have time to do much creating, or definitely not taking any classes.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I have a question, and I am tap, like drill tap, ignorant.
Okay.
How many different sizes of tap handles / whatever those are called, wrenches, whatever, the things that grab the tap bits.
Mm-hmm.
How many different sizes of those are there? And I say that because I just today bought a 632 tap That's for a very specific screw going into fiberglass, a rocket related event. Mm-hmm. And
so this is surgery we're talking
This about. Is rocket surgery. Yes. Okay. And that's a very small bit, and the tap handle that I have doesn't fit it. I had to make a little metal shim for it to hold on to that small thing. Kind of a pain in the butt. So
Do you have a drill press?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Do you have vice grips?
I have vice grips, and I have a very, very tiny monkey wrench, which I actually use. I love it. It's only about 3 inches long.
Did you get it but from Veritas? Veritas.
No. The same exact thing. Hold on. I gotta see what name's on it, because I found it in this house when we moved in. So it's one of my wife's great grandfather's.
Did you get it from a tiny monkey?
I might have. Let's see. It says, it's USA.
Tiny Tools USA.
Ridge Tool Company, Elyria, Ohio, USA.
Oh, the finest. Oh,
it's Rigid. It's
Rigid.
Tools. It's actually Rigid. The original at Rigid's.
Okay. Yeah.
And I say it's that long. It fits in my hand. And hold on, I'll give you some dimensions. It's the cutest darn thing.
It sounds like you have all the tools you need.
I think I do.
I don't know what you're asking us for.
Okay, I lied. It's 5.5 inches long. The mouth is a full, maybe 3/4 inch deep.
Okay. Like,
and it's adjustable, maybe an inch high. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. But yeah, it worked for that, Leo, because that's what I had to use, because I couldn't quite spin it with my fingers. It is only going through fiberglass, but okay. So that's just my question and my information. I have a cute monkey wrench.
Yeah, I think there are a bunch of different sizes.
Yeah, that's the pain. Like the one I have, yeah. I saw.
I think they're all common, like, but I think there's like three or four different sizes depending on, you know, the size of the taps.
I've never even seen one that small. Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have a 256, a 632, and an 832 tap. So that 256 is absolutely super tiny. It takes just scant over a 16th of an inch drill bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I know they try to standardize the size of them, but yeah, they do have to vary based on the size of the tap.
I mean, think about it. If it's just like a typical, like, it's like a collet jaw, you know, that thing, and it only has a certain capacity it can go to.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the one I have minimal goes down to like an 1/8 inch, and this is smaller. I don't think it's much smaller. It might be 3/16, but it was enough that like literally a shim of aluminum could, like, I cut it small and I kind of bent it around the head of the bit, and I was able to bite it.
You could probably just clamp it between the edges of two boards. You know, and then spin the part. How big is the part you're tapping? Is it big
or is it small? 5 feet tall.
Okay, yeah. So you're gonna spin the tool, not the work.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, taking the tool to the piece is a lot easier than taking the piece to the tool. But sadly I don't have a drill press. I don't have room for a drill press. I guess if I worked in my garage I would, but I don't. So that's me. How about you, Kyle? What do you got going on?
Well, I just wanted to give folks an update on the David Duyard fundraiser. So I want to thank everyone. We actually met our goal and exceeded it by a little bit. So I think we're right at this point a little bit over $7,800. So I want to deeply thank everyone that donated to the cause. David's much appreciated, and this will really help him out during this long recovery he's looking at. But you know, everything's going well. He's doing good. So,
good. So I was going to ask, you got a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, I haven't. I talked to him last week. I haven't talked to him this week, but, I'm probably going, you know, I think he's, you know, still in full recovery mode from the actual, you know, surgery and healing up. Mm-hmm. And so, I'll probably talk to him again next week. I think, buddy of, mine, and I think y'all know him, Sean Murphy, I think he's going to try to see him here in the next couple of days too. So we'll see how he's doing, but I want to thank everyone that donated. Can't believe the community and how they responded and really helped him out on this. So
really is awesome.
Yeah. So, besides that, I've just been working on fulfilling orders, working on jigs, and, just doing some business stuff that I can't announce just yet, but I did announce a little bit about the prototype I'm working on. I'm still waiting on some materials there. The last two podcasts are pretty much real time, but so I'm still waiting on some stuff to come in to get that prototype fully vetted out and saying this is what I'm actually going to produce. But there's some other stuff that's happening too that I'll shortly announce within the next month, I would say, if not sooner.
So, all right.
Anyway, so Brian, what are you working on?
Still working on the shop. Or shop accessories, I guess. Shop furniture. I kind of realized that I had a bunch of nice tools, and now I have a nice shop to work in.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd give my nice tools a nice home.
There you go.
And so I've been kind of building, kind of building little things to hold tools, and now I'm working on a plane till, which is much bigger than I thought it was going to be. It's a lot smaller on paper, but
yeah, Mark just built one.
I was going to say it's something in the water that's a common project, give or take.
Yeah.
I built a plane till?
No, Mark Spagnola.
Okay, the wood whisperer. Sorry.
He just built a plane till. I think he's going to do some stuff, but I'm sure that Brian has quite a larger collection than Mark does.
I would think. He brought up a good point, though, in his Mark Spagnola's little, he put up some Instagram video on it, and the way he had previously set out, he had little shelves for a couple planes. I think it was mainly like individual shelf system that he was using. And the idea of a till, yes, it's going to stick off the wall more, but it is able to condense the storage of that, in a nice way. And, and if you are, and Brian, you may have like the complete run, you've got the number 2 to number 8 Stanley and all the variants in between. I think of like when you, if you had the chance to see Lee Valley's roadshow, they've got this little box basically that holds all of their planes roughly, and it's all like slotted in, and they can, the little ones, if they're small enough, 2 can stack next to one long one, and it's like occupying the same vertical space. There's all sorts of fun stuff you can do with that.
Yeah. And I really built it for expansion because
you can never have too many.
Exactly. Because I was looking at doing a tool cabinet, and it was all the designs that I've seen are like, take all of your tools and lay them out and then build a cabinet for that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Veritas or Woodpeckers comes out with something new, it seems to make its way into my shop. So good room for expansion is kind of good. And I figure, lots I can use the space. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's where all my stuff is in a drawer right now, and I'd love to clean up a wall to be able to make a till to hang it, not just for accessibility, but it's better. I mean, I've got my spoke shave lays on the two planes laying on its side in a drawer, just because that's where everything goes right now. I don't have a better spot for it. It'd be much improved.
Yeah, I've been working out of a tool chest for like a year and a half now, so, so I am not on the tool chest bandwagon.
You're not liking it?
It's not bad, but it doesn't feel permanent. It's kind of like if I need a plane, I need to go, dig around and get to the bottom to find the right plane. And
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kind of look I've got. Like I open this drawer and I'm like, where is that I need? Oh, it's underneath that thing over there. Kind of a pain.
It's great for travel, but, when I'm in my shop, I don't need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Yeah. I built one of the little 3-drawer tool chests that they build at North Bennett Street School. I built a it doesn't have the door on it. Doesn't mean that. So it's just, the same basic arrangement of 3 drawers. And a lot of my planes live in there, and that's worked out pretty well, but everything has a place. There's no looking for stuff. It's like I know that certain things are in a certain place, and that hasn't been too bad. I'm gonna try the tool chest thing one of these days, but it's gonna be it's gonna be a mid-sized English chest. It's not gonna be like a Dutch or anything like that. So.
Yeah, I have the standard tool cabinet with the little plain, I guess, teal part plain on the top of it, and some drawers and a little cubby space below them. But it works fine. I've had it for years, but it's nothing special. In fact, it's Baltic birch plywood basically. And it's worked great. I got enough of a can on the teal. I don't have to have any magnets or anything to hold the planes. Gravity does it, and they're not going to fall out. So, and it's worked wonderful for me. But it is heavy as all get out. It's, you know, the cabinet being empty, you know, just all that Baltic birch is like, eh, you know, it's probably, I don't know, 100 pounds or more. So something like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, this is really heavy. Maybe I should get a jacked. Jack it up to the wall, but no, I was able to get it up there. But yeah, I keep getting older. I don't envy moving that at all. But anyway, we'll see how that works out. It may just come with the house here. Yeah,
take the tools, leave the cabinet.
Exactly. but no, it works well. Well, so what else have you been up to, Brian? Now, when we last talked, you did. I think you just moved into your house not too long, and you had that new shop space, and you were getting that up and running. So what else have you been doing to the space?
Not a whole lot. Okay. Ready to go. It's ready to go. I want to do, now that it's getting to be a little chilly out, I want to get the ceiling done. It's some kind of insulation up on top so that I'm not, so I'm not heating 20 feet of space up there.
Right.
That I'm not using. So, I want to get a little bit more warmth in there. It's great having an attached shop. This is my first winter really with an attached shop.
Oh, really?
And it certainly beats going out in the snow to get the shop done. And I can open the door and let some of the heat from the house in.
Well, too bad you don't have a dust collector, because I know you're mainly hand tool woodworking. But if it's ever cold in my shop, I just turn the dust collector on for about 5 minutes, and that's, you know, warms things up.
Really?
Enough. Oh,
That 3+ horse motor just adds enough ambient heat.
Yeah. Because it gets that air moving in there, and it heats the air up. And when it comes out the filter, I wouldn't say it's, you know, like a heater warmth, but if it's 55 degrees in the shop, it'll get it up to 65 and no problem. Yeah, exactly. So,
and my little Rocco one still sweater weather.
Yes, exactly. that's cool. So are you going to heat the shop? Are you going to put any dedicated heaters in there, or?
I think so. I'm not sure if I'm doing it this winter. I may just get one of those little oil.
The ubiquitous one that everyone has from.
Exactly. from the Depot 70s.
Wherever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at sometime, I think it was Diami's shop, and I go, oh, I got that same heater. You know.
But eventually I do want to put in mini splits for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. That could do heat and air conditioning, and I can turn it on from my phone.
Yeah. Because I imagine you have to deal with some humidity in your area too, right?
Oh, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
This summer was like a swamp.
Oh, I can imagine. So
which mini split can you control with your phone? I need to know about this.
I think the Mr. Cool ones you can.
Okay. I have one of those, but I'm not happy with it. It doesn't have that control. That's not why I'm unhappy, but it's failing on me, and I've only had it for about 3 years. So.
Oh man.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bummer. Well, here's a tip. I have a window banger in my shop, and I have it. It's a 110, and which works fine for my shop because it's fairly well insulated. But I have it on one of those Alexa plugs. So I can just go into my phone and turn the plug on and off, which will turn the air conditioner on and off.
Nice.
Yeah, that's why I want to get
right now running my outdoor Christmas decorations is a Wyze outlet. So for $25, you can get an outdoor rated 2-plug 110 outlet that you can have control or schedule to use. I mean, all sorts of fun stuff.
I'm not smart enough to make those work.
Yes, you are.
I have a couple of Wyze plugs, and I have just failed at getting them to work.
Oh. So
I don't know, something about my Wi-Fi network or something like that. But I gave up.
Yeah, I have like a quartz heater, but that has like the remote, and you have to like be in the room to turn it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I'm looking at getting one of those oil ones, because they're pretty dumb. And you just hook it up to a switch and turn it on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it goes.
That would work.
Yeah, exactly. So, So speaking of the shop, so any new tools that you bought?
Yeah, just a few.
Just a few? Okay.
I ended up in like a little buying spree. I was working on the till there, and I was cutting the dovetails, kind of cleaning them up with a chisel, and I have the Lee Nielsen bench chisels.
Right.
Like I couldn't quite get into the corners. It's like, you know, why don't I get myself a nice, you know, luxury tool? I'll get I got a Blue Spruce dovetail chisel, like a quarter inch or something.
Nice.
And then I was cleaning out the pins. I was, you know, getting rid of the majority of it with my fret saw, and I kept breaking blades. So I said, okay, this is stupid. I'm getting the new concepts saw, the coping saw.
Love it. Love and mine.
Yep.
They didn't. They came out with it like I think the week after I bought mine, the fret saw. So seems to be the how it goes.
Yeah.
And then Lee Valley had their second sale.
Oh yes.
Like the same week.
Yes. What did you get there?
So I got a rabbit plane. That was kind of the big thing I wanted.
What size?
Oh geez, I don't know.
Okay.
It's like
the big one
inch or something.
That's
big honking guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I got the medium one. I wish I had the big one, but oh well.
Oh well.
And I got a side edge plane or something like that?
Oh yeah, the one that has the kind of the 90-degree fence on it.
Yeah. And you kind of you can just kind of sneak up on dados.
Yes. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So I always end up in that situation where it's like, oh, that doesn't quite fit. I just need a little shave off there, and I don't want to go back to the piece that I'm trying to fit, because that always ends in heartache. And then I got a chisel plane for some reason, and I don't remember why. It was cheap, and I needed it for something, or I thought I needed it for something, but it was on sale, so I had to get it.
I actually mentioned that to my wife recently. I said, "Be glad I don't shop on the look how much money I saved theory."
Right.
Because I saw a thing that was $200 off. It doesn't mean I wasn't going to spend $600 on it, but I'm saving $200.
Yeah, this $8,000 joiner planer combination is 10% off. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money, but you're still spending the 90% of that cost. You know, like that's a dangerous slope.
Well, that's quite the haul you got there.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good week.
or bad, depending if you're tired checkbook.
It was a good week when they all arrived.
Yes.
Less when the credit card bill came. But
Well, you know, and then, you know, you'll get geared up for the after Christmas sales. So.
replenish, pay off the credit card now so you can do it all over again.
Yeah, Lee Valley just had they do a sale where you can get gift cards. It's like, after spending all that, I don't think that I should be getting a $500 gift card, even if it is like $50 off.
It's like a future discount, though. You know, it's
exactly
that is one way of having like actually spending less, you know, to spend the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, the one thing. The one thing I've been impressed with Lee Valley is ever since the pandemic hit, I think there was like free shipping on orders over $35.
I placed two orders and I didn't even pay attention to that, but I got the checkouts and it's like, that's $120. I'm like, free shipping. Sweet. I don't care how fast it is. Free shipping. I'm in.
Yeah. I hope that never goes away, because I remember they used to just do that like once a quarter or twice a year or something like that.
And I know they linked it in the
black. I'd save up all my orders for the free shipping. You know?
Now that you don't get the show discounts anymore.
Yeah. Now what they get me is, all right, I need $7.50 more. All right. What can I buy?
And that is, it's like the
Kumiko
point of sale
kit.
Stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Kumiko kit. It's the stick of gum at checkout at the grocery store. Yeah. It's like, what more can I add? Okay, this.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily need it, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think I've said this before on the show, but we do have a lot of Lee Valley kitchen gadgets because of that.
I got my wife the garlic press last year. She loved it.
Mm-hmm.
We use it all the time. So.
Yeah. The little floating tea diffuser is pretty cool, too.
I'll have to look it into it.
Yeah.
Tea person.
So
my wife was astounded when I showed her like the typical, the thin catalog that they put out for the holidays. And she actually was looking through it, and I was like, isn't this stuff cool? Like, and this is just a tight, like nothing. She goes, what? I said, no. They have a catalog, like a thin phone book of just cabinet hardware. Like, this place has everything. You really got to dig in. Like, they got, what do you want? You want kitchen? You want gardening? You want woodworking? They got it all.
baby. All the
awesome.
Stuff.
It's awesome. I wish a physical store was anywhere that I could get to easily, because I've heard it's awesome just to go in there. The one time I was at, there's a place down near Columbus, Ohio, that was a place called Woodworks, W-E-R-K-S, and they had a Rockler in it, and that was the first Rockler I had gone into, and I was like, this is so cool. Like, look at all the Rockler stuff, and that's the only, like, there's no Rocklers anywhere near me. You know,
right.
So it's an anomaly, but it's super, it's neat when that kind of stuff happens. And I've seen people like walkthroughs of Lee Valley's, people have gone in. Chris Wong, I think, went in, cause he teaches at one every once in a while, or, you know, other videos they put up, and they're like, that's gotta be a cool thing. Oh, to be in Canada for that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I
think I'm actually going to a Rockler tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I have to go pick something up in Cambridge, and they happen to have one in Cambridge, so.
There you go.
Might be a long afternoon.
A long, expensive afternoon.
Yeah,
yeah. Hopefully not.
So do you have any woodcrafts around?
We do. We have a woodcraft up in Walpole.
I have one of those at my disposal.
Actually, it's a stone's throw from Gillette Stadium.
Oh, well, you know. And you're there, what, at least 8 times a year?
Not that often,
because
really? Lee Valley has free shipping.
No, I was just mentioning football. That you're at Gillette Stadium 8 times a year for the game.
I can't afford that.
I don't know. Yeah, nobody can afford that. Now that's some real money right there.
I don't know, man. Looking at tickets for college games right now for.
Oh, you know, yeah. Yeah, you mentioned.
Championship game.
Oh, I couldn't get to say congratulations on the big win.
Yeah.
Big Ten champs. Yay.
Yeah, and you made the playoffs.
And in the playoffs. We'll see. Yeah. Got to play the big dogs now.
Yeah.
But so, like, the tickets to the Big Ten championship game, it's in Indianapolis, you know, Lucas Oil Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is big, big stadium. Couldn't get a ticket shy of $300. Like, oof. And so I hedged my bets. They got announced for the playoffs. I went, okay, I'm going to look at championship tickets. Championship tickets started at $450. Started. Actually, ticket, like, face value.
Mm-hmm.
While I was looking at that, I could go to a Colts game for $25. I'm like,
maybe you should go to a Colts game and then hide in the stadium until
for, like, a week.
Yeah.
It's alarming, but I mean, that's gougy, whatever, you know, I'm not saying, like, you know, I honestly, I've never seen an NFL game live. So I don't know what a normal ticket costs. Could be $60. Could be $80.
They're pretty pricey.
I've seen a few NFL games live, and I always come back to it's better on TV. You get the frame of the game is a little bit better on the TV screen, the way they frame it. You get the replays and all that. But now all the stadiums have these huge things, because I went to AT&T Stadium for a Cowboys game, and it's just like, this feels like I'm sitting on the couch at home.
who is it? And I don't watch a ton, but I think it's Kansas City Stadium. Their screen is like an oval. For some dumb reason, I don't understand that.
They've always had the oval,
I guess,
scoreboard type thing. So when they did the video screen, they did the same thing. Tradition.
Yeah. You're missing information
in the corners.
There.
Don't worry about it. It's not.
No, I like, and then it was the in the Mercedes Stadium in Atlanta. They have, like, what I think is like a hoop of a screen that's visible inside and outside.
It's curved like a
Yeah, it's a huge curve.
You can see it from a bunch of different directions. Yeah,
and that's awesome. I mean, you can, and so you give those views because, I mean, those stadiums are big. You can't necessarily tell the number of the guy running on the field. They look like little Lego figures, you know, by the time you get there, which, you know, goes on to your statement, Kyle. Yeah, I get a better view at home. Whether or not you like the experience or not, you know.
Yeah, that's when you go.
I go to a college game roughly once a year, and the ambiance of the stadium is awesome. But in the stadium, I'm looking at the big screen for the replay. You know, like I know it's at home. I know I can see that on the TV. So it's just a different experience.
Yeah, yeah, and that's when you go. It's for the ambiance and the, you know, the crowd and
pregame.
Yeah, I mean all the fanfare. Hullabaloo crap, you know.
Yeah,
but I think it's any sport. I mean, I've watched basketball, and it's about the same. I mean, it's exciting to hear all the squeaks live, you know, or watch them on TV. It's still, you know, it's a similar event, whether or not you want to pay to see it or not.
Yeah,
that's all you hear, right?
Squeaky. Yeah, a lot of squeaking.
Yeah. So, well, welcome to our sports podcast.
Yeah, sports talk.
Sports talk. Yes.
You guys are making me uncomfortable. I don't know a lot about the sports balls.
Oh, sports ball guy.
That's okay. So Brian, but back to you.
Is he still here?
Yeah,
there he is.
I'm giggling in the corner.
Yeah. So what's going on with the before we get off sports talk, I will have to congratulate Brian on the Patriots. Y'all were down a year, but looks like, you know, full steam ahead. So
yeah, fingers crossed.
I mean, whatever. Okay, yeah. So we got to talk about football again. Did anyone see the Bills game?
Yes.
The Patriots. That was a mess.
Oh, it was.
It was hilarious. It was so funny to watch, honestly.
Well, they play again in 2 weeks, so it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
How it plays out if they don't have a 50-mile-an-hour crosswind.
Yeah. What did they say? So the winning quarterback was 2 for 3 for 19 yards passing. Like
something like that, yeah.
That's the worst stat since 1960-something for a winning quarterback. It's amazing because it was like one way the ball would sail and the other way the kicks would come back at you. Like crazy, crazy weather.
Yeah, yeah, that was so. Hopefully, the weather will not play such a factor in the next game. So we'll see who's actually the better team, which will play the Patriots, because I think they're playing at Gillette in the next game. So
yeah,
should be. Yeah.
Anyway, so you know, so welcome back, Brian, to, you know, domination of the NFL once again, being down and out for what, a year?
A whole year. Aww.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a building year, but guess not.
I think the first like 5 games were your building year.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing well in a season where everybody has 3 losses. Like that's reality. Nobody's a dominant anything.
Yeah.
Somebody's losing to somebody.
Except for one team, the Patriots. Were y'all 6 in a row? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, all right, let's get back to our woodworking talk. And anyway, so Brian, so what's been going on with the Woodworkers Guild of Rhode Island?
We're building a bench.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. Oh.
What kind of bench?
A whole bunch is going on. What is it? The Moravian bench?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The knockdown one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we figured that'll be handy we need a bench because a couple of years ago, I was at Bob Van Dyke's shop, and he pulls me aside because we asked him to present at our next meeting, and he said, "Do you still have that crappy old bench?"
I don't want to present if you got that thing.
Exactly. So we need a little bit of an upgrade, and we thought the knockdown would be good for we do a couple of shows and stuff like that. So it'd be good to be able to knock it down, toss it in a truck, and set it back up in pretty short time.
That's pretty cool. What's how thick is the top?
I think it's like 3-3.5 inches.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So not super thick, but
still, I mean, that's stout enough
to hold a hold fast.
Yeah. 2-man carry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Are you whose plans are you using?
Who was it? Will Myers, whoever did the DVD.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a couple of things that he's done. I know he's a big proponent of the Moravia workbench, but I have not yet seen his video on it, but I have seen an article or two he's written on it. So yeah, cool.
Yeah. And it's more of a learning experience than anything, because mm-hmm. we're trying to get members that don't have a lot of hand tool experience.
Yeah.
And get them measuring and cutting joints, and there's a lot of weird joinery in that. So
yes.
Yeah, a lot of good saw cutting practice.
Yeah.
So are you going to have one of those canted leg vices on that canted leg?
We might.
Okay.
We might. I know we've ordered, what is it, Blue Lake? Lake Erie?
Lake Erie
tools, the wood yeah. screw. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we ordered one of those for the face vice. So
talk about squeaks when you tighten that one down. It's going to squeak right into place.
Yep, I've got one in my shop. So.
They're nice.
They hold like hell, though.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to kick them off, like, to release them. Once it's tightened down, you really got to
pop it.
Yeah.
Well, that is super cool. And, of course, y'all are still publishing your meetings on YouTube, right?
Yeah, we had this famous guy a couple months ago.
Oh, ooh. Really? Really?
Yeah. Wilbur Spam or something.
Spam. Yes. I think I've heard of him.
I've heard of him.
Yes. He does Scandinavian tools, right?
Yeah. That's it.
That's pretty cool. He gave a talk on the Eastern tool.
Yeah, he did a talk about chisels, about Japanese chisels. Mm-hmm. And actually, was it a month or so ago? I got a bunch of YouTube notices. Oh, so-and-so has subscribed. So-and-so has subscribed. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And I thought about it for a second, and I was like, oh, I bet Wilbur was on the MWA podcast. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Pretty cool, though.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. Y'all have had lots of good. I think David Duyard did a meeting with y'all and had a little presentation on joints.
Yeah, that was great.
And some other stuff. What else? Y'all had some guy there that I don't know if it was one meeting that was split up into three parts, but I know the YouTube was like three different YouTubes.
Oh, could be Jonathan Oda. Yeah, he came and talked about three different topics. Because he had a bunch of short topics, and
mm-hmm.
so I decided it was easier to just split them up and
not
have to watch a whole video to learn about card scrapers.
Yeah. So, listeners, if y'all want to check that out, go to YouTube and just search for Woodworkers Guild of Rhode Island. And then you can, see their fabulous guests and learn all about what's happening at the guild and not have to pay any dues.
Yeah. There you go. And Brian just got a notification because I just subscribed.
Fantastic.
But that's really cool. I honestly, and I don't know, we don't talk to everybody that's in a woodworking guild or group. I think the Rhode Island guys are doing it right. They're probably the most forward thinking, socially active woodworking guilds that I think I've ever heard of. Really? At least in the States.
We're slacking, but
no, I think you're pretty darn good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think they do. They do a good job. I think who else also? The Kansas City Guild also put some mm-hmm. stuff out on YouTube, and they're pretty good too. And it just depends on the month or so. But I think they both have excellent presenters at their meeting. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City hired Christopher Schwartz to come out and like build a Dutch tool chest for 2 days straight. He just lectured and built it the entire time, which was, I thought was pretty cool.
But, yeah. You can't That's good.
Do a full class. It's nice to see one built from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For those of you like me and in a hole in the armpit of America that doesn't have a woodworking guild within a 8-hour drive. That stuff's really cool.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. There's one here in Houston, but, and I need to go back to see what they're up to because they've continually changed and evolved. So I don't know what the makeup or what their focus is now. So I probably need to get up there. But yeah, it's still like where they meet for me is like an hour and a half. And even though it is Texas, it's like it's an hour and a half.
There is a limit. Uh-huh.
Yeah, there is a limit. There is a limit.
But, it's been a weird time for guilds anyway. It's
for
sure.
Yeah,
we're just starting to get back into in-person meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But then with Omicron coming up, it looks like we're are getting a little more wary again. So we're probably going to be back on Zoom for the most part.
Ooh,
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, hopefully this Omicron is not as might be a blessing in disguise from some things I've read. You know, as far as it being, hey, yeah, it's real virulent, but it's not nearly as deadly or, you know, even putting people in the hospital. You know, it's more milder symptoms and
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So I think as long as, you know, you get the antibodies from it that'll protect you against the other variants, it might be, you know, I hate to say it, you know, silver lining to it.
Yeah. I will say, like, we sat in a band performance yesterday. And that is the first time that we've been in a near capacity crowd. And my wife and I wore our masks and shut up and sat down and didn't look sideways and like just kind of, you know, grinned and bared it, you know, kind of thing. And it's definitely, I mean, and everyone's different, but like we're on the cautious side, definitely on the cautious side. And until we're absolutely out of the clear, I don't know if we're going to be comfortable anytime soon. So it's understandable.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, it all depends. They had a big thing last weekend we went to here in Galveston called Dickens on the Strand, which they've had for, I don't know, 60 years or something like that. But, you know, it's like a weekend event where people dress up in Victorian garb and, you know, they have, you know, festivities and all that. And we went to that and it was like, yep, that's pretty much normal. Of course, these days people don't dress up in Victorian garb. It's more steampunky, but it's still pretty cool. I mean, you had some people out there with some mad skills on doing costumes and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it was like, you know, these backpacks and rocket packs and all this kind of stuff is pretty cool. But yeah, I would say maybe 5% of the people were wearing a mask there. Maybe. Might be even lower than that. Might be.
Was it outdoors?
Yeah, I was outdoors.
But it was busy.
It was busy. It was, yeah. I would say, I don't know how many people were there at any one time, but when we were there, there were easily probably 5,000 to 7,000, but it's over, you know, about 4 or 5 city blocks. So
yeah, that's tight though.
Yeah. I mean, it was wearing a mask. And then they have a parade that comes through and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was tight. But anyway, you know, it is what it is at this point in time. So, Brian, so tell us about this miter box rehab I saw on your Instagram.
The yak shaving?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I couldn't have put it better. Yeah, so I have an old – they put so many names on these things. It's a Miller's Falls Acme Langdon miter box. Just kept adding words to it until it worked.
Yeah.
All of them.
I think it's from the early 20th century. I don't remember if it was from the 19 teens, but it's, you know, older than me.
Yes.
By a little bit.
Yeah.
And I got it on eBay a while back. I've been kind of using it as a user, but I've kind of been meaning to fix up the bed. It's got this really cool, like the Miller's Falls bright red bed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a few spots of rust. So I thought, okay, I went to go cut a miter and I was like, you know, before I do that, I'm just going to repaint this. So I repainted those and I went to put them back on. And then I realized that there's a whole lot of rust on the body too. So that all went into the evapo rust and got primed and repainted. And I was trying to go for kind of accuracy, but they have like the gray is like a kind of a heavy on blue kind of gray, like a slate kind of color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, I'll go to the home center. I'll find, you know, something that's similar. And I didn't want to do, you know, like battleship gray. I didn't want it to be boring. So I found one that's kind of, you know, light gray with a little bit of blue in it. Well, it turns out it was like powder blue. But it, I mean,
it's a boy.
Yeah. It, I think it gives it a lot of pop. It's like the most eye-catching thing in my shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, until I cover it in sawdust.
Yeah, it does look nice. So when you bought it, was this a user that came with the saw and everything?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, nice distance saw, too.
Oh, really? That's nice. It's nice because, yeah, it looks like it has all the parts and adjustments and everything.
Yeah, and it was great taking it apart because I learned so much about how it works.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of a black box when I got it. So, like, taking it apart, I learned, oh, that's what that's supposed to do.
Another tool that I found in the house was a busted up miter box. And I'm looking at the saw. It is a distance saw, which is caked in rust. And the bed is missing its guide rails, I think. If I remember right. Sorry, tucked down here. Damn, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Now I got to see if I can find what it is.
Now, listeners, Sean is not actually lifting this. This is just quality Foley work he's doing.
No, I promise you, I'm looking at the spider webs and rusted flathead screws on the bottom of this thing. It's old, but I don't think it says who it's made by. It's gray painted. I'm definitely missing the front guide rail because there's like a keystone or mm-hmm. a keyway kind of thing that would guide the front of the blade.
Yeah.
That I'm definitely missing. The back one's there because it clamps the spine of the saw there, I can tell. I'm missing half of it, unfortunately. Hmm. Darn it. Ryan, I'll send it to you. You can rehab it. You know all about these things.
I'm good with a rattle can of paint.
But I love the saw. The saw, like, it's like such a behemoth. Mm. It's got to be a good 2 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. How do you age these things? I mean, the distant button, I'm sure, would tell me something. It's a distant Falada button.
The problem I have with it is you have that giant saw, and you end up using like 10 inches of the teeth.
If, so you only have to resharpen the middle, or you have to sharpen them all to keep them the same height?
You gotta joint them all. Blade.
Yeah. At least join them all. Maybe I won't sharpen them all.
Maybe not sharpen them all. You're not going to use the tip. Idea. Ever, you know, it is. It would be a funky saw. It would be like smooth in the front, smooth in the back, because you're only going to use the middle 2/3 or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is interesting. Yeah, don't some people make like some dovetail saws that don't have any teeth on the front or back of them?
Just a smooth blade on the front. You get started with some speed before you start cutting.
Mm. Gimmick or useful? You tell us.
Depends on how you saw.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Well, that is so cool. You did a wonderful job on that.
Yeah, you did.
Thanks.
Yeah. You should, just buy. Did you have fun rehabbing it?
I did. It's fun to take tools apart and kind of learn about them. And actually, one of my next rehab projects that I keep putting off is my grandfather's old number 5.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah. That's got a little work that has to be done on it.
That would be cool. So I was going to ask you about upcoming projects. So that's got to be one of your upcoming projects then to get that done.
Apparently all that I do now is rehab.
Rehab, yes.
Well,
yes.
Tool rehab. My rehab is a completely different story.
that's another 12-step
That's more
program.
Of a 12-step program, right?
Yeah. I actually have some friends coming down that I got hooked on turning. So,
that's a slippery slope right there.
Yep. So they came down one time. They saw some of my pens,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "You made that?" It's like, "Yeah, I made that." They're like, "Can you teach me next time?"
Teach me.
Sure. Okay.
So yeah, there's this woodworking guild that I belong to.
teaches these things. More memberships.
Well, unfortunately, they're from upstate New York, so it's a bit of a hike to come down for meetings.
But
I got some tool, the pen kits,
mm-hmm.
and all 5 of them turned their own pen. And then he came back 2 weeks later and turned pens for his boss and another pen for himself. I think they're coming back in a week or so. And he's got pens and ornaments lined up, and
dang, you're gonna be running his Etsy store here.
Exactly. I think he's just using me for my lathe, but he brings beer, so
there you go.
That's a good trade.
That's not a bad trade off.
That's not a bad trade at all. That's cool. That's cool. So so what kind of pens are you doing? It just your basic stuff or any of those complicated acrylic type stuff?
No, I was actually talking to a pen turner this weekend at a craft show, and he had a bunch of acrylic stuff. And I was like, nope, I can't do that. It just feels dirty. Like, I'm a woodworker. I can't work in acrylic. I can't do plastic. I'm not a plastic worker.
Yeah. Well, that's funny, yeah, because when I just mentioned that Dickens on the Strand, when we were there, they had a guy had a booth set up, and he was selling pens and cutting boards, long grain cutting boards, and I was just like, interesting. And then I asked him how much one of his cutting boards was, and it was a decent sized cutting board, and he said it's $35, and I went, yeah, you're retired, aren't you? Because that's incredibly cheap for the amount of work. Even though it was a long grain cutting board, there were still, you know, a couple of different species of woods, and it was hand stamped. And it looks like he must have one of those laser engravers because I had something written on, you know, the sides of the cutting board. So I was just like, yeah. Too bad I don't have, you know, I go, boy, that would make great Christmas gifts for somebody, you know, at that kind of price. It's just like, wow, incredible. I didn't ask him what his pens were. I should have, but anyway. Well, so anything else going on that you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm teaching a class.
Oh, but you are.
Kind of class you are.
That is big news. What are you teaching and where?
It's very small news, actually.
Oh, okay.
There's in the school that we have our meetings in, there's they kind of wanted to start a woodworking program, and it's kind of a charter school for kids that misbehave or, you know, have some kind of behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. And one of their like things that they can work toward is doing the woodworking class.
Oh,
nice. And yeah, so a buddy of mine.
So you're the reward at the end of the journey.
Right. A buddy of mine's running that program, and he said that, yeah, they didn't know what an inch was when they started out. So.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing a little like Japanese pencil case.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to try building one of those so that I can know what I'm doing. Yeah,
exactly.
Always good.
But it should be fun. Should be good.
Well, just make them in the shape of plane tills and, you know, knock out two birds with one class.
There you go.
You know, I can't do a small plane till, though. That's, they'll each be going home with these well, 5-foot long behemoths.
Exactly. Oh, that is cool. That's so cool. And, you know, more power to you. Yeah. Big thanks goes out for you doing that. That's
for sure. Yeah, it's
that's got to be challenging and rewarding all at the same time. So cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's great to be able to pass on woodworking to younger kids too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And hopefully they'll kind of have that in the back of their minds.
Yeah. I assume this is all hand tool stuff.
Yeah. The school doesn't want us operating like the table saw or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I figured.
Kids that don't know what an inch is.
Yeah, yeah.
Your reward for behaving is the loss of a finger. Congratulations.
It's not like the old days. I think you have some legal issues if you lose a finger in shop class.
Yeah, exactly. Well, fantastic. Well, let's move on to our fortnightly beer choices. So yeah. I'm not drinking a beer. So my wife's birthday was yesterday. So we did a little celebrating and we had a little leftover Tito's. So I had a screwdriver. Just one before the and the first part of the show. So that's done. And
I'm on my third now.
No. just had the one. Actually, I got to get up early. I got to get up like, you know, your time, Sean, to really? Do some stuff tomorrow. I got some appointments. So just one for me tonight. So, Sean, what are you drinking?
So it's Advent beer time. So today's selection out of the beer Advent calendar is hard to say because it's foreign. German or otherwise. So
there's some wiener in there, I see.
Private brewery, let's say private brewery. Longium Weiner Lager. So it's a lager to drink with your Weiners or your wieners.
It's not made with hot dog water.
I doubt
hot
that.
Hot dog water soup.
I doubt that heavily. It's very good. The most of these things are wheat based or typical lagers, you know, of the old style, you know, the law passed in 1664 or whatever it was. But it's very good. Another good pint of Advent beer for me tonight. What about you, Mark?
I'm still working on that case of Foggy Geezer. So
I've got
12 more left, so that you're going to hear Foggy Geezer a lot.
Fun. That's all right.
Next few episodes.
I look forward to the day that I can try a Foggy Geezer.
Hey, Sean, I had a question about the Advent calendar beer, because I've never bought one. I've heard about them. But is all the beers the same in all the calendars? So, like, if you had a buddy that had his and you and y'all both opened
went
up number
Costco.
Eight, it would be the same beer?
Yes, I believe that is true. And even... there are similarities year over year, understandably, possibly. It's hard to make 24 unique things year over year over year. At some point, you're going to get some overlap. So I check them all into the Untappd app, you know, so I can see how much of an alcoholic I am. one of them already was like, oh, you had that before. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, whatever. But it is, I believe, each year the production. And I think this goes to the same. I was in, where the hell was I the other day? And I saw a wine advent calendar.
Yeah. You know?
And they do them. They do those too. Mm-hmm. And you do a chocolate advent calendar. Same kind of thing. I think you're going to get that production is a production of 24 or 25 items, and every one of them is identical. It's not so much mystery at that point.
You know? I think we need to do like a modern woodworkers advent beer advent calendar club next year.
We all
run out to Costco, get the same beers,
and then talk daily on the tasting.
Maybe that might be worth
Maybe it's a podcast calendar. We just buy the advent calendar
and
we open
and
it up
stretch
on
it
every
out.
Every show.
That's not a bad idea.
That is not a bad idea. I say that's a good idea, Mark.
We don't have to do an advent calendar for the podcast beer. We can just try to arrange it. Of course, it'd be easier to coordinate.
The nice thing about this is that you could kind of guarantee the availability.
Right.
Because I can't get what you get in Missouri or Wisconsin, and I can't get what's in Texas, and I can't get what's in Rhode Island. Matter, you know, like there's a lot of variety there. So unless we get on some mail order or something or other. Costco way is probably the easier way.
Well, Sean, you can get Three Floyds in Indiana. I don't know.
Yes, I can. I can get some Three Floyds here, but I definitely can get a lot more about an hour away.
Yeah.
Well, y'all should be able to get Tito's, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. Tito's. Sure. Yes. Oh, yeah. You want to talk about liquor?
Yeah, we just step it up a little bit.
God,
you know?
It's easy. Yeah.
So is the, for the advent calendar, is that like full size 12 or 16 ounce beers?
Pint cans, yeah.
Nice.
So the box is huge. They're all laying down sideways, and hold on, I'll give you dimensions.
Is it bigger than a plane till?
It is. Depending.
Hey,
no,
you
it
might
is
be
not,
able to
actually.
Use it afterwards. It's a plane.
This would be a small plane till.
A block plane till.
Sorry if I'm cutting up, but 22 inches high, 13 inches wide, and 7 inches deep. So it's a sizable thing. It's like a stack of 24. It's like a, you know, a loose case because there's space between everything of pint cans. So
tall boys.
Basically tall boys. Worth it, I think. I forget what I paid for it, but you know, put that into comparison. All kind of higher, you know, quality, foreign, imported, yada yada yada.
Nice. Good stuff. We'll definitely put that on the list for next year. I think that's a great idea.
I think it is.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, Brian, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a homebrewed Tart of Darkness clone.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
you are the home brewer. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's one thing we miss, not being able to meet up, because you always were able to bring some of your beer. So that's fantastic.
Now I'm trying to get rid of it. So
Oh, really?
You can't have people over to drink it?
I know. I don't have people over to drink it. I used to have people come over every week for board games, and that kind of
fizzled out.
Yep. Are you doing that virtually at all? Or
A little bit. We're starting to get into it because everybody's been vaccinated and boosted, and
there's
a lot less concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're still not drinking my beer yet. So
you're not sharing it with your friends' cohorts otherwise? I have a guy at work that brews it. Every once in a while I just walk into my office and I got a bottle of beer on my desk. Pretty nice. Wait.
Well, I'm working from home still, so I could give it to the dog. He'd probably like that.
I'm sure he'd love it.
Yeah. Oh man. So well, fantastic. Well, so Brian, so where can folks find you if they want to on the interwebs?
Probably the easiest or the best is Brian_C_Brazil on Instagram. I still have swampyankeeworkshop.com.
Yeah, it works. It just forwards it over does. To your Instagram.
It goes right to
Instagram. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep. Nice. So,
because it used to be just full of nothing. So now it's full of Instagram.
Now it's basically Instagram.
Well, you need to post some of your beers on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that'd be good. So, Mark, where can folks find you?
I am at Mark Builds It on Instagram, plate11.com, plate11 Woodworking on YouTube, and jointeffort.net.
Fantastic.
Sean, how about you, bud?
I'm at SeanW78 on most social medias. Kyle, where can people find you?
You can always find me at Barton.Kyle on Instagram or Kyle Barton on YouTube. And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.